You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, May 5th, 2025. And of course, this is Grandpa Dan kicking off your work week, streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. Time for another installment of the Daily Nationalist. Time for another installment of the Daily Mail version of the Daily Nationalist. And I have to say, after having used the Daily Mail for source articles for the show for a little bit now, I want to know how much the people who write these quote-unquote articles, I want to know what they make. I want to know what this gig pays, because it's pretty low effort, to be honest. And if they're making good bank on this, you know, maybe I want in. I could do this. I've got some experience. I could do this. So what's the pay scale? What is it rate? Come on, Daily Mail. Hit me up. You know, I can do this. Our first article is a great example of what I'm talking about. And I picked this because this has got to be one of the most, aside from a royal family article, this has got to be one of the most Daily Mail articles. This has got to be one of the most Daily Mail articles I've read in a while on the Daily Mail. The headline is, "Chilling Moment. Humanoid robot wakes up and starts attacking its handlers while trying to break free from restraints." Now, I guess I should say before we get going, as I've said before, I'm so tired of Western politics that, as you could tell from our story today, I just can't. You know, I could do the most. I had another story I thought about covering, you know, from one of the local, it wasn't Daily Mail, it was from one of the local, or well, not local, but from a Texas Fox station, about a hubbub between Greg Abbott and a town in Texas over being in violation of anti-Semitism and whatever. And I'd originally saved that a couple days ago when I came across, so I thought I might do something different for the show. But as you can see, instead we're doing Killer Robot trying to break free from its restraints. Why, you might ask? Because why in the world? This is more entertaining to me than doing a show with, you know, the umpteenth cajillion example of, wow, look, why is the governor of Texas, you know, threatening legal action against a town for some non-binding resolution condemning Israel for what it's doing in Gaza? You know, I how many examples do we need? I could do a show on water being wet, and it's going to be just as interesting. Instead, I opt for humanoid robot waking up and attacking its handlers. I read this and I'm like, I got to do this, because not because of what happened being anything in particular, aside from obviously there's a programming glitch and the controls, the thing is just going haywire, but because of the totally most Daily Mail-ish way that the story is written. Let's get into it and you'll see what I mean. A humanoid robot was seen attacking its handler while trying to break free from restraints in a scene viewers have branded dystopian. In CCTV footage from a factory in China, of course it has to be in China, because you have to have that narrative, because nothing ever happens in the West, but see, in China, probably the robot was trying to stand up for democracy, values of who we are and human rights. In CCTV footage from a factory in China, the black robot, it's a black robot too. is speaking out. It was flailing about in frustration about Chinese racism, perhaps. The black robot could be seen attached to a miniature crane before it suddenly began swinging its arms back and forth. Now, if this was a story just about reporting facts, there wouldn't be a story here. Again, obviously, they're trying to program this thing, and they had something wrong in the software, and the thing just kind of went out of control and was flailing around. There's nothing newsworthy about it. So how do you take an incident that is observably and in no way newsworthy and write it up in a manner to where it makes the Monday installment of the Daily Nationalist? Here's how you do it. The robot, seemingly of its own accord. How is it of its own accord? It's plugged in. It's literally, you can see it's plugged into a laptop. Seemingly of its own accord. You see, it's sentient. The robot suddenly gained sentience and realized it was the next George Floyd. It's a black robot hanging from a crane. It's hanging like from a noose. Seemingly of its own accord, raised its arms in the air and brought them down again, repeating the motion with increasing speed and violence. It then began walking forward. It began walking forward as it thrashed around in an apparent bid to break free from the crane. In an apparent bid, it's not just, there's obviously something, somebody plugged something into the software incorrectly. No, it's trying to free itself in an apparent bid to free. In an apparent bid to free itself from the crane. See, it's alive. The men could both be seen flinching and cowering while raising their arms to shield their face as they moved out of its path. The computer monitor toppled to the floor, and other items were knocked over from the desk as the men attempted to flee from the out-of-control robot. Eventually, one of the men pulled the crane from behind in a bid to stop the spree of destruction. I gotta stop reading there because in typical, like I say, this is one of the most Daily Mail articles outside of something about the royal family you're going to get, because the rest of the article is just what randos on the internet are saying. Are saying about it. It just cracks me up. You have something that's just such obviously, well, there was a software, and they write it up like the robot suddenly gained sentience and began trying to break free of its own accord. Didn't want the Chinese communists. They want, that's, the robot demands democracy. It demands democracy values. We should offer asylum to all the robots, well, at least to the black robots that are being hung by cranes in communist China by the evil CCP. I have to laugh because people, this person, let's see, who is this? Taryn Peddler, I don't know how you pronounce it. Taryn Peddler got paid to write this, and it got published internationally. Granted, it's the Daily Mail, and you can scoff at that, but it doesn't change the fact that this person got paid to write an article with this in it, and then just fill in the rest of the article with what random people on the internet were saying about it. You know, they're making more money than me, so I can laugh, but at the same time, they're getting better. So I say, what does this pay? I can do this. I mean, anyone could do this. Stupid? I don't know. Crazy? Crazy like a fox, maybe. I mean, they're getting paid. Let's see what else. What else do we got? Let's do some. We got some women. We got some Daily Mail women articles here. Let's do this one here. I thought this one was kind of funny. Woman who has live streamed her every second of her life for the past 3 years reveals heartbreaking truth. So we have attention whoring on steroids, live streaming every second of her life. Of course, my first thought is that even true? Does she live stream herself going to the bathroom? Live streaming? I don't know, because there are people that probably pay for that. Maybe she is literally live streaming every minute of her life. The ultimate tension whoring on steroids. And yet we already know from the headline of the article that she is also the victim because of course she is. A Twitch live streamer who has broadcast every second of her life over 3 years revealed the job has prevented her from achieving her real dream to get married and buy a house. Emily CC28 holds the record for the longest continuous stream on the Amazon-owned streaming platform. In November, she marked 3 straight years of live streaming on Twitch and was even joined by the app's biggest star, Kai Cenat, to celebrate the occasion. I have to say, I feel a certain amount of pride. And the fact that, of course, I have no idea who any of these people are. Is Twitch, because I've heard of Twitch. I thought, and I may be remembering wrong, because I'm old. You have to give me a break from this stuff because I'm old. But I thought that was supposed to be like, isn't that supposed to be like a gaming streaming platform, or am I thinking of something else? As I look through this, it looks to me like it's basically OnlyFans Lite. You know, some women just can't leap right into OnlyFans. So they're trying to do like OnlyFans Lite here. While she has made a career, why does anybody want to wage slave? You know? Yeah, I hear people, especially older people, and they bitch, you know, nobody wants to work anymore. Young people, they're all lazy. They don't want to work anymore. And I can say that as somebody who's old. And yet, when you have statements like this, she's made a career out of live streaming herself. I mean, it's kind of like the meme about when you're going to work, you know, to slave away at your pointless job, and you're thinking about some woman on the internet is selling her farts for 50, you know, farts in a jar for $50 a piece. Why would you bother? How are you supposed to get motivated for that? A career out of live streaming her life. Imagine that. If I live streamed every moment of my life, it would be more boring than this show probably is, as I talk about things you probably don't care about, but it's still more interesting than American politics. I digress. While she has made a so-called career out of constantly recording her life, Emily told the Washington Post that live streaming has actually prevented her from achieving her dreams. So why are you doing it? She's made a non-career. So this just seems to me like a woman's dream job. She's literally getting paid for existing. There's no indication here she does anything particularly interesting. She just gets paid for simply existing. And even then, remember this, as you listen to the Daily Nationals on your lunch break, at your mind-numbing, tedious, shitty, wagey job out there, that this woman gets paid more than you do for existing. Now you know how I feel when I read these articles and realize the authors at the Daily Mail, the journalists, those who write these articles at the Daily Mail make more than I do. I basically do this for free. Now you know how I feel. As you slave at your pointless wage job, and remember, this bitch gets paid to just walk around filming herself. Remember that. We all on the same. And yet, at the same time, she's the victim here. You see, she's getting paid to do nothing but exist, and even then, she's the victim. She told the outlet her goal is to buy a house and get married by the age of 30. But at 28 years old and a full-time streamer, she's too busy today. Busy doing what? She's too busy to date. Too busy to do what? You basically have cameras, I assume she has cameras set up, just filming her going about her day. Too busy to date. Now, let me tell you something. If you're single, for starters, and her goal was to get married by the age of 30. See, she has already blown her fertile years. She's just burning out the fertile years live streaming herself. If you were a guy, and you were a single guy, and you, what? Would this not be a huge red flag? how in the hell are you going to date this woman who's streaming herself all the time? You're just going to be a background character. It's like, oh, I'm going out on a date and you're going to show up. Can you imagine you didn't know? And you ran in, but she live streams herself all the time. How would you not know? Like, if you ran into her and asked her out, you'd be like, why is she carrying this camera around? Filming herself on a selfie stick. Does she, if she films every minute of her life, does she film herself going to the grocery store? Going to Whataburger? I don't know. You would be like a big red flag. Like, oh, I film myself 24/7. I have a feeling that would be the reason why she's not getting any dates. Not because she's so busy. Imagine you walking up and be like, hey, you're kind of cute. Would you like to go out this weekend? Sure, but I have to bring my camera or camera crew, whatever the hell else. Due to the demands of constantly being online, the demands. Emily has not been able to take time for herself. Her whole life is herself. She's unable to take time for herself. The woman is so self-absorbed, she literally films herself 24/7. And somehow gets paid for this. And yet she doesn't have time for herself. It's breathtaking. Due to the demands of constantly being online, Emily has not been able to take time for herself and build intimate relationships with others while she has, and this is again, they don't even have to, you don't even have to get paid to have proper grammar here, so I have to just ad lib it here. While she has streamed her life for the last 3 years, for 3 years she has taken no sick day. How do you take a sick day from filming yourself? There is no sick day. You just film yourself being sick. So stunning. So brave. She's taken no sick days. Gone on no vacations. Again, I hope you're listening to this on your lunch hour at your job that you hate. Not because I don't want you to suffer. I want you to laugh at the ludicrous, the ridiculousness of this. She hasn't been able to take a vacation. She stays at home all the time. As a wise man once said, that ain't working. That's the way you do it. let's see here. She's taken no vacations, declined every wedding invitation, and had no sex, the outlet said. Like I said, it's basically OnlyFans lied. I may or may not use one of the pictures from this story for the show. I don't know. I was leaning towards using the crazy Chinese robot with Re on it or something, but I may use this. Maybe too spicy. That's what I say. This is like soft porn, is what it is. You know, like back in the day, if you're old like me, you remember back in the day before pornography was widespread. You remember Skinamax? You know, it was like porn without being porn. Like when you was a kid, you know, when you first got cable and there was Cinemax. I don't know if Cinemax still exists, but we called it, the joke at the time was it was Skinemax. Because it was like, they had shows on there that was like porn, but not porn. It's just, sorry, I'm getting off. Let's see how she got off on her career. Emily joined Twitch in 2016 at just 19 years old when she worked night shifts as a cashier on Long Island. Her boyfriend at the time told her to try Twitch and said, your life sucks. You work at CVS. You have no friends. This could be helpful. In 2021, she moved to Austin, Texas, and was fully committed to Twitch, even streaming the day she broke up with her boyfriend. You know what, bruh? That's just karma. That's just, she live streamed breaking up with your ass. Bet you didn't feel so clever getting filmed being dumped. Probably felt like a fool, didn't you? You can't feel sorry for some people. He introduced her to Twitch and created a monster. Her boyfriend, previously known as a Dr. Frankenstein, created a monster. And the monster eventually, she turned on him and live streamed, dumping him for the world to see. Should have just kept her at CVS. Well, we got another article. Like I said, we got another article here. And once again, it has the theme like our previous article, of how women can be empowered and yet, at the same time, be victims. Missing mother of two makes a stunning admission after she is found 63 years after mysteriously vanishing. This article, too, helps because I hear a lot of guys and they complain about modern women and how bad modern women are, as if they just morphed out of the ether and became a certain way. I believe a lot of this is what the young folks refer to as quote-unquote cope. Because perhaps, this is just what it's like when they're allowed to run buck wild. Maybe this is just what they would do, period. Maybe, just maybe, this is why, for thousands of years of human history, functioning societies made sure that, you know, you didn't just let women just go off and do whatever the hell, because you're going to get some crazy stuff. A young mother who vanished 60 years ago has finally been found and admitted that she has no regrets about her disappearance. She abandoned her family, abandoned her kids, but she has no regrets. Guess why? Because yes, she too is the victim. Audrey Beckbeger was 20 years old and a married mother of two when she disappeared from Reedsburg, Wisconsin in July of 1962. On Thursday, Sauk County Sheriff's Office announced that Beckbeger had been found alive and well in another state. Further investigation has revealed that Ms. Beckberg's disappearance was by her own choice and not the result of any criminal activity or foul play, the sheriff's office said. The Wisconsin Missing Persons Advocacy Organization said the woman married her husband, Ronald Beckberg, at just 15 years old, and their marriage was riddled with abuse. Now, you notice Ronald here does not get an opportunity to defend himself. The accusation gets thrown out there. The accusation gets thrown out there and it just gets laid out there as if it's true. Ronald should be able to sue the Daily Mail for slander or defamation of character, but he didn't get to do that. This woman who runs off, abandons her family, her kids, she gets a pass, but they throw out here that, well, the guy she was married to was an abusive asshole. So, you know, what can you do? Maybe this guy was the nicest guy in the world. You know, maybe a woman who just run off and abandon her kids. Yeah, notice they throw out the accusation that this guy was this horrible, abusive asshole, but she still gets a pass because she left her kids with this guy who was so supposedly, allegedly, so abusive and so evil. She didn't take her kids with her. She wasn't rescuing her kids from his evil, abusive behavior. She dumped the kids on him and took off. He was so abusive, she had no choice but to run off. Oh, but she left the kids with this guy who was so abusive. Despite her family's insistence that Beckberg would never abandon her kids, obviously they were wrong, the case eventually went cold. Detective Isaac Hansen reopened her case in March for a comprehensive review as part of an ongoing examination of cold case files. I think she just was removed and, you know, moved on from things and kind of did her own thing and led her life. She sounded happy, confident in her decision, no regrets. Beckberg filed a criminal complaint claiming her husband had beaten her and threatened to kill her just days before she vanished, according to WMPA. Now, again, I don't know anything about this guy. But anyone can make an allegation. You can't just say somebody made an allegation, so it must be true. Notice here, once again, we're given this narrative that somehow women can't lie. And obviously this woman had high character because she just split and didn't just abandon everything. Didn't let her parents know. Didn't let anybody know. And left her kids. On the one hand, this guy was horrible and threatened to kill her. On the other hand, she had no qualms about ditching her kids off on him. However, her husband passed a polygraph exam and has always maintained his innocence in the case. So in other words, he passed a polygraph. But we're just still going to put it out there like it must have been true. Let's go ahead here and see if we can finally get to the nuts and bolts of the case here. So shortly after Beckberg went missing, because obviously, let me stop there and clarify, because obviously I'm not really buying the husband was, because everybody, virtually every man that gets divorced gets accused of some form of abuse. That's like the first thing, you know, the first thing they go with is, oh, he was horribly abusive. Again, I think the facts of the case point to that being bullshit, because if he was so evil and dangerous, A, he passed a polygraph, and B, she herself had no qualms of ditching her kids off on him, like, to leave with this horrible monster. Let's see if we can get to maybe what might have been her real motivation. Shortly after Beckberg went missing, a 14-year-old babysitter for the couple told police she had hitchhiked to Madison with the young mother, then took a bus to Indianapolis, Indiana with her. The teenager decided to return home and claimed she saw Beckberg at a bus stop. The juvenile was interviewed again as an adult, maybe 15 years ago, Detective Lieutenant Chris Zunker of Sauk County Sheriff's Office told WMPA. She stated, Audrey had taken a bunch of pills, put them in a Coke can, and drank it before taking the bus to town to Indianapolis. Oh, here we go. We got a money shot here. She reported Audrey potentially hooked up with some construction workers that may have been in the area. There you go. We have to wade through all the BS about the abusive husband that she left her kids with, and how she was a victim. And she even filed a report. Never mind, the husband passed a polygraph and I guess raised the kids on his own. Maybe got remarried. I don't know. Didn't get into any of that. But we wade through the article and we get to, she did a bunch of drugs and hooked up with a group of construction workers. You see? Quote unquote modern women. This isn't pre-modern women. She did a bunch. This is in the early 60s. She did a bunch of dope and went and rode the carousel. Shock of shocks. She ditched her kids with her husband, left him with the responsibility, ran off, did dope, and went and rode the construction the construction cane carousel. She was probably at one point suspended from the crane like the poor Chinese robot. She was probably flailing around like that too. You know what I'm saying. She has no regrets. Imagine abandoning your kids to run off and get railed by a group of construction workers. Well, I mean, I don't know that. I want to be fair. I don't want to be like them, like this group quoted in the article that throws out the accusation, the insinuation at the very least, that the husband was an abusive asshole who I'm assuming managed to somehow raise kids on his own. Such a dick. He raised kids on his own after she ditched him and took off. I don't want to be like them. Maybe she didn't get railed by a group of construction workers. Maybe she... But nevertheless, reeling it back in on point. Imagine abandoning your kids. And then all of these years later, her kids are old now. It's been 60 some odd years. Her kids... She has no regrets. She doesn't regret dumping her kids off to go do her own thing. And reached out, didn't at any point say, hey, maybe that was a mistake. Hey, I wonder how my kids are doing. I wonder what kind of lives they've lived. I wonder if I have grandkids out there floating around. No, instead it's basically, I had a great time with the construction workers or whatever the hell else. It's not just the words. It's the tone. The article doesn't come out and say so in so many words. Just like their insinuation that the guy she left and ditched her kids on is some asshole. It's the tone. Because the tone of the article is basically, she was living, if you didn't think things through critically, and you just read this, and you were one of these NPC people that are easily emotionally just driven by the wind, blown here or there by your emotions, you'd read this article, and you'd come off with, she was in an abusive relationship. She couldn't take it any longer. And in an act of stunning bravery, she just vanished to live her life with her own. And even after abandoning her, her kids and her family and everyone she knew, the people that raised her, she has no regrets. The picture of stunning bravery. Still more interesting than American politics. So we're going to wrap up on that note. It would have been nice. I said we're going to wrap up. I got to say one more thing. It would have been nice if the Daily Mail, if this article, if they would have had the decency to say what happened to her husband after they left. Did he just successfully raise the kids who went on to be successful adults? Maybe he remarried and lived a normal life. Is he alive? Is he dead? Oh, well, I guess the difference is I work hard sometimes not to use colorful language, as y'all can tell. If she would have had the ability in the 1960s, she would have live streamed her escape. 24/7. Brave, and yet at the same time, such a victim. We are going to wrap up on that note. I'll be back tomorrow. I really will this week. I know last week it didn't happen. I will actually be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots. Dr. Johnson will be here Wednesday with the Orthodox Nationalist. Barring any electrical failures, last week was just crazy week. Barring any electrical failures, Dr. Johnson will be here Thursday with his Daily Nationalist. Last week, I told Dr. Johnson, I said, well, just consider it part of getting used to living in the third world. You can't count on things like the light staying on. So barring anything like that, we should have a normal week. And Dr. Johnson will wrap up our week on Thursday with his installment of the Daily Nationalist. So yeah, if you are listening, as I said earlier, if you are listening to this on your lunch hour, hey, time to get back to it, Wagey. Too bad you can't make a living live streaming yourself. Enjoy the rest of your work week. Keep the faith. As hard as it may be, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the Nationalist Community.